It's good to be together. I think it's a day we need to be together. We need to be together for a time of worship and reflection and prayer and communion, and to remind ourselves just how big and strong and good is our great God. I mean, what a week it's been. And let me just state the obvious, okay? To those of you who've experienced tangible loss as a result of Hurricane Harvey, I want you to know that I'm personally sorry for that. As a church, we're sorry for that. And as a church, we want to help. And I'm asking you to let us help. It would be our privilege. Our entire community has been affected by Hurricane Harvey, and our hearts and our prayers are with all. And actually, everybody in this room has a Harvey story, you and Harvey. It will be very personal. And if someone asks you if you were affected or impacted by Hurricane Harvey, the answer is yes. You may not have been flooded. You may not have been touched by a tornado last weekend. But your heart has been wounded. Your heart has been stirred. Your emotions have been stirred. And honestly, your faith has been inspired as you've watched not just the storm, but the responses to the storm's impact. We are all different people. Harvey's torrential rain, devastating winds, and widespread flooding have so far cost over 40 lives. I'm sure that number will increase. Driven over 1 million people to evacuate their homes in Texas, and caused such extensive destruction that it will likely become one of the costliest storms, if not the costliest storm in U.S. history. I'm going to have some photos on the screen, and just as I have these photos up, just throw out some numbers for you. Over 40 lives lost, including Houston Police Sergeant Steve Perez, 60-year-old father of two, last Sunday morning, who said, "I have a job to do. I've got to get there." He didn't make it. Two men died in a boating accident. They were engaged in just trying to rescue people, help people. Samuel Saldivar was trying to bring his elderly parents to safety, and his brother's four grandchildren. The van he was driving, unfortunately, was tossed by a strong current. More than 20 trillion gallons of rainfall fell across Texas and Louisiana, a staggering amount that represents enough water to supply New York City's needs for over five decades. Billions of dollars. Moody's analytics estimate $97 billion in destruction alone, some $108 billion in damages counting lost output. Nearly 52 inches of rain fell, making it the heaviest rainfall for a storm in U.S. continental history. 185,149 homes estimated to be damaged or destroyed by Harvey. As of Friday, 364,000 people registered for FEMA assistance. 42,399 people in shelters as of Friday. 10,000 people rescued by federal forces. A number of people I know in our church family actually rescued from their homes by boat. That's not counting all the Good Samaritan rescues. Libby Mickey was rescued by a guy on a kayak. You say, kayak's a one-seater. I know. She was rescued by a guy in a kayak. If she hangs on the back of that thing. Tuesday, I'm talking to 20 guys in our parking lot from the valley who'd come up, brought their John boats, brought their airboats. They're just looking for places to go, people to help, people to rescue, something to do. Where can they go? What can they do? They're handing out their cards. I said, "Boy, I just appreciate you guys so much being here and doing this and being willing to be a good Samaritan and get out and get things done, just taking your initiative." They said, "Well, Ronnie, it'd be the thing you would do if we were in trouble." I said, "I don't know how to drive an airboat." They said, we really don't know how to drive an airboat either. But we're here, and we're willing to try. 900 calls per hour coming in to Houston 911 during the height of the storm. 24,000, the number of National Guard troops deployed now. And 10 Gulf Coast refineries that remain shut down. Since last weekend, my phone's been blowing up from calls from other cities, other states, churches, universities, specifically Lipscomb University in Nashville. The Woodmont Hills Church in Nashville, they were the first ones to call and say, we have a check already on the way. I said, look, our website's not, you know, we're down right now. We'll be ready to receive online donations. They said, listen, we've gone through this. We know what's needed. We know cash is needed that can help people. We have a check already in the mail, and it will be there as soon as possible. Last night, I received an email from Jason Noble. Jason and his wife, Erica, grew up in our church. He's the preaching minister for the Friendly Avenue Church of Christ in Greensboro, North Carolina. Ronnie, we have been, and we're praying for everyone, and we've been following your lives as best we can from far away. I'm sure there's much devastation, much to give thanks for in the First Colony family. I want to give you a heads up. My elders will be making the following announcement to our church tomorrow. I'm not exactly when the funds will come your way, but wanted you to know we're thinking and praying for you all. Here's the announcement that's being made in North Carolina this morning. Many in our church family here have special connections to Texas. Jason and Erica are from the Houston area. They and others have close family and friends who were victims and trying to recover. And here we've been praying for those victims. Many have already sent donations to help. The need is great. Next Sunday, we'll be receiving a special offering here on September 10 to aid the hurricane victims. You might also give online. And all funds that we collect will be sent to the First Colony Church of Christ in Sugar Land, Texas. It's the home congregation of Jason and Erica. That church's building was in a voluntary evacuation zone, but it stayed open during the flooding to receive those who needed a dry place to evacuate. They're continuing to help the victims. Please keep these people in your prayers. I wrote back and I said, Jason, you tell your church from our heart that not only are we grateful, but we're lifted sky high by this incredible gesture. Thank you, and thank you to the church family there in North Carolina. You know, a week ago Friday, you know, you got to operate quickly in situations like this. I've been keeping up with the storm, just made the call. We need to cancel all activities, all services for the weekend. But you remember last Saturday, we were sort of in a dry zone, really, right here in Sugar Land. Well, that changed last Saturday night, and obviously last Sunday, heavy rain, and then Monday, it just became clear. We got to open our church building as an evacuation spot, and we were in a voluntary evacuation zone. We couldn't become an official shelter, but hey, it was better than nothing. And I sent out an email early last Monday. I asked you to help me get the word out. Said, look, we're going to be open. We're not an official shelter. We don't have food, but bring any food you have. Come on up and bring a blanket, bring a sleeping bag. But let me tell you, no food, no problem. People started showing up, but then food started showing up. Gary and Patty Tuma drive up with enough barbecue to feed an army for 2 days. Chick-fil-A, they were here less than a minute, right, Gary? Less than a minute. He comes in and he says, hey, we heard what y'all are doing. We appreciate it so much. And they dropped down three big platters of chicken nuggets with all the sauces. People just started driving up, dropping off frozen peaches, food, goodies, Pringles. I've never eaten so many Pringles chips in my life. And by the way, they are fantastic. I forgot how good those things are. But all kinds of snacks and stuff and goodies and water, etc. And all total, over 100 people were here. But what was amazing is that some of our church members then started coming up saying, hey, listen, our house is going to be fine and safe. We can take a family. We can take two families. Rather than staying here at the building, we can take some folks home with us. We got a call and a text from Tony and Ernell Veraldi, longtime First Colony church members who moved to Austin just a couple of months ago. They wrote in saying, listen, we've got room for 20 people. Tell them to get on the road now and come our way. And I appreciated so much some of our elders who could be here, and the elder presence on Monday and Tuesday was just incredible. You know, with Greg Sturman and Rocky Hudson and Robert Beasley and Jim Shahan, and then Pete leading our worship up here. Pete and his wife Jessie were here all week. Now, they had to get out of their home in New Territory, but they had other places that they could have gone, people saying, come with us. But he said, no, we just want to be right here. They were here all week, and his presence was just fantastic. Monday night was the heaviest sleepover night. We had right at 40, maybe a little north of 40 people who spent the night. The last family came in the middle of the night. They were from Riverstone, and their neighborhood was starting to flood. And they came in. We had people sleeping in the lobby. We had a couple folks upstairs in offices, people back here in the orange room, in the studio, various places. This family put them over here in the kind of the, you know, cry room, mom's room over here. And I said, look, there's not enough room in here for you, for all four, to have a couch or place to sleep. If you want to, here, I'll show you where the worship center is. Go in and just lie down on a pew. They said, it's okay if we sleep on a pew. I said, people do it every Sunday morning here. Every Sunday morning. Trust me, you are not going to be the first people to sleep on one of these pews. And, you know, I've watched it happen. And so obviously, I think they're pretty comfortable, you know, based on my observations, that it looks like people would say they're pretty comfortable. By the way, in our first service today, you know, later in our service, we'll take up a special offering. In our first service today, I gave an envelope with cash. I don't remember the family's name, but they stayed up here Monday night, and I got a handwritten note from them on Friday in my office. It was delivered, and it had an envelope with cash saying, we're so grateful for what happened, and we just want to pass this along for, you know, Harvey relief. I will tell you, though, Monday midday through Tuesday midday and Tuesday afternoon, I don't know that I've ever been in a situation before where there was such a palpable, tangible sense of, we're trapped. We're trapped. If we wanted to leave Houston now, we couldn't. And the police were telling us that our building was probably going to become an island. They said, this intersection's already flooded. We're probably going to close this intersection here at 59 and First Colony Boulevard. And there was that sense of, you know, we've missed the window of opportunity. If we wanted to get away, we could get away. And I don't know if you remember, but actually through Tuesday midday, all the weather forecasts were saying rain, continuing rain, heavy rain. I'm quoting the Weather Channel now, excessive flooding. But Tuesday morning at 5 a.m., I'm watching the weather forecast, Channel 11, and the weather lady's name was Cheetah. And she genuinely had optimism. She said, Houston, I think we might get a break today. I think the storm might move a little more to the east than what had been predicted. Now, you know, that's not been good for our friends to the east. You know, what do you do in situations like that? You know, I'm praying for us to be spared. Somebody else gets hammered. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I do know that by Tuesday afternoon, after a day of lighter rain and the sun came out, people were heading west. We got word, hey, listen, you want to go west, you can take 59 north to 610 to 290, and you can be gone. And let me tell you something beautiful. I kept getting reports from various people in San Antonio, College Station. My own kids were in College Station. San Antonio, College Station, Austin. They said, at points west, when people realize that we're from Houston, they can't do enough for us. Restaurants were comping their bills. Hotels were bringing in food. Hotels with a no pet policy would say, we're making an exception for you here. Museums in College Station and in Austin said, you're from Houston, all admission fees are canceled. You bring your children, bring your family here. I just think that's fantastic. I just think that's such an incredible display of kindness. And listen, and people say there's something about that spirit of Texans helping Texans, and I believe there is, but listen, the people of Texas, by an overwhelming majority, are people of faith. And that Texas spirit is rooted deeply in the Christian faith. And it is our faith in God, and it is our faith in Jesus Christ that fuels so much of what is so good about this city and about this state. And I praise God for that, and I'm just so very, very thankful for that. Then on Thursday, we sort of transitioned to a place to receive and distribute donations. I sent out lists early Thursday morning. This is what we need. This is what we don't need. Help me get the word out. And it's been incredible the way that you have responded. We've received so much. We've given away so much. By Friday afternoon, the place was empty. But by yesterday afternoon, it was full again. This morning, we had people coming in to receive things, to get what was needed. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When this service is over, would you mind going over here to our gym and going to room 100, which is the room right before you exit, and just go take a look at all the supplies that are in there. And if you need something, or you know somebody who needs something, would you just take it and distribute it? I was talking, before our service started with Doug Freed. He was on the board at Second Mile. Doug, I think I'm saying this correctly. Second Mile Mission Center has received a shipment of eggs, cheese, milk, so much that they can't store it all. And they're asking people, listen, if you would be willing to come in, pick up some of that, take it to anybody that you might know or another shelter that you might know who needs it, then that would be a beautiful thing. Let me just say that a lot of outside groups have been so helpful to us here. I mean, I'm so grateful for our first responders. I'm grateful for groups like Hope Force. Hope Force is one of the finest Christian helping groups I know. You say, well, I'd like to sign up and help for the next couple of days. Sorry, here's what you can do. You can register to get trained. But they have a well-trained deployment force, people all over the country, and wherever there's a point of need, those people will meet there, and they are well-trained, and they're going to be right here in the greater Houston area. All right, let me very quickly walk you through four things we want to do well in responding to Hurricane Harvey. And here's the first one. You ready? Faithfully receive, in the name of Jesus, donations for hurricane relief. We have established the Harvey Relief Fund. You can point anybody to our church website. They can go there, and it's really easy to donate, and 100% of those donated funds go to hurricane relief. And our mission in that is in the words of Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. We want to do good to all, and especially to the family of believers. And we want to have that eye, that mindset towards the family of believers. Secondly, we want to faithfully and wisely distribute in the name of Jesus donated funds and goods and services. We have formed a Harvey Leadership Response Team that's designed to help us pay close attention to what we're doing here. On that team would be Karen Wolf, Rocky Hudson, Greg Sturman, Brady Burgett, and Brett Gowans. And this is a team that has experience in construction, insurance, leadership. Greg Sturman was the former president of Second Mile Mission. And so this is, I think, a group that's going to be such a helpful catalyst to us. And listen, here's what we know. As Joan Gregory taught me and emphasized this past week, she's been on staff at Woodmont Hills Church in Nashville for a long time, been doing relief work for about 35 years. She says there's a short initial window of response, but then comes the long-term response. Long after the cameras are gone, long after the videos are gone, long-term response. I was talking to a family here this morning who had damage with Hurricane Ike, and they said, you know, you have to have help with insurance and government response and things like that. And so this, we are committed to the faithful and wise distribution in the name of Jesus, donated funds, givers, goods and services over the long haul. Thirdly, we want to humbly partner with others for maximum effectiveness. That means we're not going to compete, as Joan Gregory was saying this past week in such a beautiful way. She said, Ronnie, remind your church, here are her words, you ready? Just serve. Just serve. Don't worry about posturing. Don't worry about photo ops. Don't worry if somebody else did something better or more. We're not competing with any other church. We're not competing with any other group. And we need to be humble enough to partner maybe with another church, partner with another group. Listen, the Second Mile Mission Center, with whom we partner in so many good things, they are so good at what they do, we can sometimes take them for granted. And it's okay for us to partner with them and partner with others. And we want to humbly partner with others for maximum effectiveness. And last of all, we want to be a broker of helpful communication and helpful information for intermediate and long-term hurricane relief. We have established the Hurricane Help Network. Sandy Mann got it set up this week. You can go to our website and sign up. And what the Hurricane Help Network is designed to do is surface needs and surface solutions. You have, or you might know, of a hurricane-related need. Hey, I need a house mucked out over here. And others can just very organically and naturally put it out there, say, I can help with this. Our connection group can be here. I've got a group of guys. We can do that next Saturday, et cetera. And that Hurricane Help Network, just get the word out. And it's there to help surface needs and solutions. Gang, never let the good you cannot do interfere with the good you can do. God wants to do good things through us. And one of my wife's favorite stories is the story of that older man who was walking along the long beach, and he noticed a young man ahead of him. And he noticed the young man picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean and the surf. And the older man caught up with the younger man, and he said, what are you doing? And the young man's answer was, these starfish are stranded right here. And if left in the morning sun, they'll die. And they need to be returned to the ocean. And the old man said, this beach goes on for miles. There are millions of starfish here. How can your effort make any difference? And the young man, without stopping, picked up a starfish, threw it back in, and said, it made a difference to that one. And those immortal words, it makes a difference to that one, and it all begins with one. My friends, we go through something like we've gone through and like we're going through. It clarifies values, does it not? What really is important becomes most important to us. And not only does it clarify our values, it helps us to experience God and glorify God in a new way. You go through a new and a different experience. You come to experience and know God in a new and a different way. And you have an opportunity to glorify God in a different way. And sometimes God shines a spotlight on you individually, or on a church, or on a community. And you can inspire and touch and influence people more in a short span of time than through 1,000 ordinary days. My friends, our great God, He is with us. Our God is stronger than any pain. I want to encourage you to continue to show the wonderful love of Christ. Be patient. Hang in there with each other. It's a long haul, but we'll get better through it. We'll be better for it, and the Lord will be with us. Everybody, we want to, before we close today, we want to spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to ask quickly our elder couples to be taking their places down front, because you know of someone that you'd like to pray for today. Or perhaps you've been uniquely touched and influenced by the events of recent days and Hurricane Harvey. And we would invite you to come down and pray with one of our elder couples today. It would be our joy and honor to do so. So let me ask you to go ahead and be standing. And I want to start this prayer today. Go ahead and be standing, everyone. And I want to start our prayer because our president has declared today a national day of prayer. Our governor has declared this a statewide day of prayer. And they've asked us to pray over some very specific people and situations. And I'm going to start this, and I'm going to ask you, then after I finish, you just continue to sing and pray where you are. Or if you want to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples, we'd love to do that. Also, we're going to be passing around some offering plates, some offering trays, where you can give in a special way to hurricane relief. You don't need to feel like you have to, but if you want to, you can just know that 100% of this collection here will go to hurricane relief. Everybody, let's pray together. Lord, I offer prayers today for all those harmed by Hurricane Harvey, including people who have lost family members or been injured, those who've lost homes or other property. Lord, I pray for our first responders, for law enforcement officers, for military personnel, for medical professionals leading the response and recovery efforts. Lord, I pray that you give to us all strength and comfort. I thank you that believers all across our state are one voice of prayer, all across our nation are one voice of prayer, as we seek to uplift one another and assist communities as they rebuild from this disaster. And I am thankful that as Texans today, we can join together in prayer in this time of crisis. And we do so in the name of Jesus. Amen.